today as we come to the table.
I think sometimes we're concerned about the horizontal in our life. Yeah, but you don't know all the problems. I've got all this going on at work. I've got that going on with my family. I've got all these issues. Listen, the Bible says if we will focus on the vertical, that is our relationship from earth to heaven, God will take care of the horizontal, our relationships with each other and in everything we have to do on this earth. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. What things? In context, he was talking about the things that we need in this world. And so the bottom line is, if we will focus on the vertical, God will take care of the horizontal.
As Christians, it's easy to get so caught up in what's happening around us that we lose focus on our most important relationship of all, God. No matter how easy it may be to slowly backslide, the more you put your eyes towards heaven, the closer to God you'll be. Keep your gaze on Him and be saved from the world's stresses. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Your faith will never be stronger than the moment you choose to give all of your burdens to the Lord. The struggles of everyday life will always be prevalent, and it's only through God's divine power that you can be saved. Let Him be your deliverer and rock. He wants nothing more than to be by your side during your greatest difficulties. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 13, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
In verse 1, then Abraham went up from Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the south. And Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made at first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with Abram, who had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me, and if you take to the left, then I will go to the right. And if you go to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted his eyes and saw all the plain of the Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go toward Zoar. Then Lot chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from each other. And Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. But the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward, for all the land which you see I give to you and to your descendants forever. And I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants could also be numbered. Arise and walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. And then Abram moved his tent and dwelt and went and dwelt by the terebinth trees of Mamre, which are in Hebron, and he built an altar there to the Lord. Remember the setting here we saw last time, and that is that Abraham had been veering off course, rather had veered completely off course and had gone down into the world. He had gone down into Egypt. And God, after him going down there, had been silent to Abram. For what it appears, we don't see that God spoke to Abram any in his little venture down into Egypt. And it wasn't until he came back to the place that God had called him that he once again began to speak to him. Abraham now, in essence, being kicked out of Egypt by Pharaoh, And now coming back to the land and reestablishing that relationship with the Lord. And we're going to see that God again now begins to speak to Abram and begins to give Abram new direction. And in the midst of speaking to Abram once again and giving him new direction, we're going to see that God faces Abraham with certain choices. And not only does God give Abraham certain choices that he needs to make, God gives Lot certain choices that he needs to make as well. And really the story of today's passage is this. You have two men that are both saved. And let me just say it applies to the unsaved and the saved. If you're unsaved, you're faced with the choice of eternity. And that is receiving Jesus Christ and either entering into the kingdom of God or not receiving Jesus Christ and being eternally separate from the kingdom of God. But today's story focuses in more on believers and the choices we make. That is choosing to be obedient to the word of God and reaping not only the temporary benefits, but especially the eternal benefits, or those choices that we can make in turning away from the word of God and not being obedient to God's word completely in every area, and now having not only the eternal consequences of less reward, but having even the temporary consequences that they're going to face. And let me say this, as we get into this passage, we face the same choices. Remember, why do I say two believers? The Bible tells us in the New Testament, Lot was saved. We know that Abraham was, but the Bible tells us Lot was saved. The scriptures say that he was righteous, and that even as he lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot might be a better name for him, actually. That's what happened to his life. Lot's life, if you will, was one of rotting, and it was also one of disobedience. And although he was saved in the Lord, the Bible says he was tormented day by day. The problem is, although he was tormented by the wickedness going on in Sodom and Gomorrah day by day, he did nothing about it. He continued to make choices to live among Sodom rather than being separate from Sodom. And see, that is the choice that we're going to see today, the difference between Abraham and Lot. But it's also the difference today between believers who walk in the blessing of the Lord down here now in this world and also that receive the greatest reward in the world to come. That is in the kingdom of God. And those who walk down here for their desires and seeking the world while they're down here, losing any temporary reward, but then losing the eternal reward as well. The question for us is, which do we want to be? And so Abraham needed to learn this lesson. We're going to see that Abraham makes the right choices, but Lot, again, we're going to see makes the wrong choices. Well, notice here with me, if you will, in verse 1, it says, then Abram went up from Egypt. That is substantial. Note that. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him to the Negev. Now that is, it may say to the south in your Bible. He's actually moving north. They call the Negev, the southern region of Israel, is actually the Negev. And the word there in the Hebrew is the Negev, which means the southern part of Israel. But from where Abraham was, it's coming up. Now here's what's key to recognize. Now that God has convicted Abraham, and now that Pharaoh basically has rebuked Abraham and kicked him out of Egypt, we see Abraham saying, what am I doing? I'm not in the place that God called me. I need to get back to where I know I need to be. And now he starts heading north. We saw him head south. Now we see him heading north, heading up, coming up out of Egypt, and really symbolically, not only literally coming out of Egypt, but symbolically reestablishing his relationship with the Lord as he comes up out of Egypt. And notice here it says in verse 2 that Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver, and in gold. Now we noted that his venture down into Egypt did bring temporary and worldly reward. That is, he increased his riches while venturing into Egypt. Or we would say while venturing into the world. But the eternal consequences of how it affected Lot and how it affected his family and the temporary consequences as well were devastating. Again, remember, as he came back up, we see, yes, he did have reward from making his investment in the world, if you will. And again, I'm not saying that we're not to be wise and use the funds that God has given us wisely in the world to invest them. That's not my point. Very obviously, in the practical realm, the Bible tells us that we are to be wise with our funds. What I'm saying is the choice that Abram made to invest in the things of Egypt, to trust in Egypt, to run to Egypt, did bring him some temporary benefit in the worldly financial realm, but again, his family paid a big price. And again, one of the lessons we're going to see out of this is, although he does bring his family back up out of Egypt, although you can bring Lot out of Egypt, he never really did get Egypt out of Lot. And you see, I think Abraham was greatly responsible for that. Because Abraham is the one that led him down into Egypt. Abram is the one that took his family down there. And yes, there was the temporary benefit in some ways, but the long-term benefit was devastating. And really, that's a warning to us. And that is to make sure that the decisions that we're making and the things that we're doing are not based off of temporary decisions, but are based off of eternal decisions of how it's going to affect our life. And so, again, you know, Mark 8:36 says this, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the entire world and loses his own soul?" You know, when we're making decisions for our life and we're making decisions for our family, it is so important that we put the things of God and the things of the Spirit first and not be led by the sparklies of Egypt or by the promise of temporary gain. Because as the Bible says, it's all going to burn. And we need to make sure that we have our investments in the proper place. Now, again, it's also important here to note that as he came back up out of Egypt, he was getting his life back in order the way he needed to. And again, that's something that God calls us throughout the scriptures to do. It was as if to say, Abraham, look, you went the wrong way, but now it's time to come back. And this is what is so exciting about our God. He is a God that not only calls us back, he will take us back. And so realize that when you follow the world, when you head off in that direction and you find yourself there, maybe some of you this morning say, man, I'm heading that way. Or some of you this morning say, I'm in the world. And the Lord is calling you back right now. He's convicting you by even the passage that we're studying. And he's asking you to come back. Realize his arms are open wide. You are received when you come back. The Lord is not just saying that. He's not going to reject you when you come. He's going to receive you when you come. And the Lord is saying, you know what? It's time to come back and do the first works. God was saying, Abram, you've left your first love. And remember, it's the same thing we saw in Revelation chapter 3 when Jesus was speaking to the churches there. And he said to the church, he said, you've left your first love, the church of Ephesus. He said, you've left your first emphasis. And that is a love of God, building altars to the Lord, having communion with me. And he says, now you've veered off into the world. He said, it's time to recognize that, to return and to repent. And notice this, do the first works. You see, Abraham, we see while he's down in Egypt, we don't see him building one altar the whole time he's there. And yet we said one of the things that marks the life of Abraham is he was an altar builder. That is putting God first in everything. And we're going to see that even again in this passage. But the problem is when we veer off down into Egypt, we leave the altars of God and we begin to basically worship at the altar of the world. Oh, we might not necessarily think we're worshiping, but we are. Now, let me say this as well. I think sometimes we're concerned about the horizontal in our life. Yeah, but you don't know all the problems. I've got all this going on at work. I've got that going on with my family. I've got all these issues. Listen, the Bible says if we will focus on the vertical, that is our relationship from earth to heaven, God will take care of the horizontal, our relationships with each other and in everything we have to do on this earth. Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added. What things? In context, he was talking about the things that we need in this world. And so the bottom line is, if we will focus on the vertical, God will take care of the horizontal. And so notice he goes back up, Lot with him. Notice they were very rich in livestock and silver and gold. We're going to see that Abraham is able to handle that. Lot is not. And verse 3, and he went on his journey from the south as far as Bethel to the place where his tent had been. Note this, at the beginning. I have that underlined between Bethel and Ai. Remember when God called him into the land, God settled him right there between Bethel and Ai. He built an altar and he established that relationship with God. And the whole time God was waiting for Abraham to come back. He veered off. He left the place where God had him. And he said, I'm right here waiting on you, Abraham. As soon as you return, Abraham gets the message. And now Abraham comes back to the place he was at the beginning. And many of us right now may need to come back to the place we were at the beginning. Right now, God is convicting your heart, saying, where are you? I remember those times in the Word. I remember those times in prayer. I remember your devotion. I remember your commitment. I remember your servitude. But now you just seem to sit. Come back. Come back to the place between Bethel and Ai where the blessing of the Lord rests. And so Abraham hears the call. He comes back and notice it says in verse 4, it was to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And although he makes lots of altars, notice the altar. I believe this one was essential because this is the one that when God took him to the new place he had in his life, that now he was saying, this is my new commitment. I'm going to follow you, even as at the first. And notice, and there, where? There, Abraham called on the name of the Lord. The implication is he didn't while in Egypt. Now, it doesn't mean that Abraham just said, forget God. But we don't see one recorded episode of him crying out to God while in Egypt. And as we said, nor building an altar. Now, did he? Well, technically we can't know. But I do know this. Whenever we veer off in the world and whenever we veer off in Egypt, we find that our desire for the things of God, well, in all honesty, it just begins to disappear. Have you noticed? Have you noticed that? When I have grown cold, when I have not been in the Word like I should, when I have not been in prayer like I should, you know what happens? It's not quite as attractive as it used to be. Oh, it's not that I quit caring about God and wanting to the things of God, but I find that suddenly the sparklies of the world can get my attention much more easily. And Abram had experienced the same thing, I believe, but now that he comes back to the place he was at the first and says, all right, Lord, I repent, I'm going to redo, I'm going to reestablish, I'm going to get back with you the way I need to be, suddenly he finds this hunger, this desire for the things of God being restored. And once again, he calls upon the name of the Lord. What a great thing to see. Verse 5, notice this, and Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. Now, this is an extremely ominous verse. Why? Notice this. Lot also, who was with Abraham, had flocks and herds and tents. In other words, Abraham had flocks, herds, and tents. Lot had flocks, herds, and tents. But there's something strikingly absent here in the description of Lot that we don't see with Abraham. And this is the difference between the Christian that is going for it in the Lord and the Christian that is dabbling in the things of the world and basically becoming non-usable by God. What is that difference? Notice when it mentions Lot and Abraham that they both had flocks, herds, and tents, it only mentions that Abraham had an altar. And you'll see nowhere that Lot ever had an altar. What is my point? The altar is the place of worship. The altar is the place of commitment. The altar is the place of putting God first in your life. And you see, on the surface, they look the same. Hey, they both look the same. They probably had, if you were going to make an analogy today, they probably would have gone to church. They probably would have had Bibles. They probably would have said the things that need to be said. All the outward appearances would have been, you know what? There's no difference. Look, they both have flocks, tents, and herds. But it's what you don't see in the background that they didn't have both together, and that is the altar of God. You see, Abraham had a place in his private life that was between him and the Lord where he spent time before God in his word and in prayer. And see, that is where God gives us power and changes our life. And that's what makes the difference in a Christian that is truly used by God and moving forward in the things of God and a Christian that is simply saved and getting into heaven. There's a big difference. And that's the difference between these two. You know, it's interesting. The Bible tells us that David was a great man of prayer and that David was a great warrior for God. But before we ever see David used publicly as a great man and a great warrior, we see him privately seeking the Lord. The Bible tells us he was a shepherd that sought the Lord. He was having those times in the field with God. And it was because of those times in the field with God that now David was used in the public times as a witness to others and leading them. The difference between Lot and Abram, well, really nothing more than just the altar, but how essential that is. Isn't it amazing? Sometimes we look around at the people around us and, you know, well, I wish I had that, or I wish I had that, or they have this, or they make that much, or they do this. And you know what? It's all outward and external. And yet what makes a man or a woman before God be great is the altar that they build in their private life. That's the only difference. It's been said that a man or woman that never has that private life with God will never be used in a public way. And I believe that to be true because that is where the power comes from. See, Lot was missing what he had. He didn't have the altar in his life. Everything was there except the most important thing, and that was God being first. Notice verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Again, the land in that time, if you had too many flocks, there was only so much that they could graze on. There was only so much water. And because they had so much, they couldn't dwell together. They needed to separate. So the very practical reason for it, but there's also a spiritual reason. Notice verse 7. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Now there's a lot in this verse. Notice first here, it says there was strife between Abram's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. And again, we know the reason for that. There wasn't quite enough room for the land to support them. But note this, there was also strife between Abram and Lot. Notice he says to him in verse 8, let there not be strife between you and me. So it wasn't just the herdsmen that had strife. It was also strife here between family. It was also strife between these two men. And why was this strife here? Well, the strife was here because one of them was seeking God and one of them was not. Again, yes, a practical reason for the flocks, but there's also another element here that the Holy Spirit includes in this passage. And I believe it was no other reason than the fact that Abram had now set his face to seek God and Lot hadn't. And how many of you have noticed that when you set your face to seek God, there's strife with those around you that haven't? Whether it be family, whether it be friends, whether it be someone at the office, when you have set your face to seek the Lord, you can be sure that there's going to be strife. But note this, strife is not always a bad thing. What do I mean by that? Now, if it's strife due to sin, or we're just striving because of our sin, that's not good. But if it's strife because we're making a stand for God or desiring to, it's healthy. And why is it healthy? Because it forces us to one side of the fence or the other. Are we going to walk with the Lord with all of our heart? Are we going to compromise? And I can guarantee you, if you compromise, no problems. You're going to get along with everyone just fine. But if you decide that you're going to make a stand for the Lord, you're going to have strife. Recognize that. Jesus said this. This is very interesting to me. This is not one of those you hear very often. But he said, "Woe to you if all men think well of you." Meditate on that for a moment. Does everyone like you? Now, that's an easy one for me. I don't have that problem. But maybe some of you, not because I'm saying I'm such a great witness for the Lord. I'm just saying that not everybody likes me. But the bottom line is, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, when it comes to your witness in the Lord, does everyone like you? In every facet of life, I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be honorable. I'm not saying that we're not supposed to be reaching out and we're supposed to be loving and all that. What I'm saying is, if we truly, truly decide to make a stand for the Lord, you can be sure there's going to be times where there's going to be strife. As Jesus said, such were the prophets before you. They persecuted them. And he says, blessed they are because of the reward that they have. And blessed are you if you, again, stand for the things of God, although it may cause strife in your life, because there's great reward. It's interesting. We think about Jesus, and he says to his church, he wants there to be unity. And that is certainly true within the church. But the reality is that in the world, there can't be unity at all times. The Bible says, be at peace with all men when possible. And it's interesting, in John 7:43, it says this, Jesus was there with them and sharing and preaching, and it says, so there was a division among the people because of him. Note that. And so understand that whenever we make a stand for the Lord and whenever we live righteously, there's going to be strife. And I believe that it wasn't just strife on a practical level. I believe there was strife between Abram and Lot because Abram had decided to make a stand. No, we're not going to watch that. No, we're not going to read that. No, we're not going to do that as a family. Oh, come on, Abram. You're so holy. You're so righteous. You're so this. What do you think you are? Are you better than everyone else? You know? And there begins to be this strife. Guys, don't ever be afraid of it. I think that it can be very healthy because it challenges us to grow and to mature and to be stronger in the Lord. And again, I think God even uses strife to direct our lives sometimes. You know, we see here in this particular place, God wanted to move Abraham to a new relationship with him. And yet Abram was being held back because of Lot. Abram couldn't go where God wanted him to go because Lot was a weight. Lot was choosing the things of the world. And God's saying, I want you to choose the things of me. And so God now allows this strife and uses the strife to force Abram to say, look, why don't we just separate here? This isn't working out very well. I don't think Lot was supposed to be with him in the first place. And now we see that comes a point where God says, that's enough. He's got to be removed. And we see this in the scripture. Remember Jacob and Laban. Jacob goes to serve Laban. Things go fine for several years. And all of a sudden, there's this strife among them. Why? Because God now wants to separate him from Laban.
Isn't it interesting that it only took a couple of chapters in after God created everything for mankind to find a way to rebel? This is human nature, isn't it? Throughout history, God has something great in mind, but people find loopholes and do things their own way, rebelling against God. Something that's striking in the book of Genesis is that God remains faithful even when mankind does not. God keeps his promises when it would be impossible for anyone else to do so. What an amazing God we serve. Pastor Mark has been working his way through the opening book of the Bible, and there's so much more to gain from it. Come to the Table is a radio ministry of Calvary Knoxville. If you're enjoying these teachings, head over to thewaymedia.net to hear more. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. While you're there, if you have any questions or comments about today's message, we'd love to hear them. Just look for the questions and comments link. If you're ever in the Knoxville, Tennessee area, we'd love for you to drop in and see us. You can find service times and locations on thewaymedia.net. Scroll to the bottom of the page and find a link to Calvary Knoxville. We have several service times that could accommodate whatever type of schedule you have. We're so thankful that you've joined us today, listening to Pastor Mark's thoughts and insights on the book of Genesis. There's more to learn and appreciate from the beginning of the Bible on. So come next time grab your Bible, maybe a cup of coffee, and be ready to understand the great things God has for you to learn the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.